Good afternoon, Senator Rosen, Representative Warren, and members of the Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. I'm Senator Scott Searway, and I represent Senate District 16, which includes the communities of Albion, Benton, Clinton, Fairfield, Waterville, Winslow, and Unity Township. I am before you today to present LD 94, an act to provide a source of funding for drug abuse resistance education, or DARE. As the title indicates, this bill provides a source of funding for drug abuse resistance education, more commonly referred to as DARE. The current language of the bill suggests that the funding come from the state, the sale of confiscated weapons. I am open to other funding ideas the committee might have. I'd like to share with you a little bit about the DARE program. I'm sure most members of this committee are familiar with DARE, and some of you may have even had a DARE program while you were in school. I don't know, it's quite an older group. But older. Among other things, the program teaches students about the dangers of recreational drug use in an interactive in-school setting. Students who enter the program sign a pledge not to use drugs. DARE is taught using the Keeping It Real curriculum in grades 5 to 8 grade. This curriculum was developed using over 20 years of research by the Drug Resistance Strategies Project, DRS, about why our youth use drugs. It was developed collaboratively by Penn State University and Arizona State University, DARE America, and schools around our country. Engaging activities are the basis and strong points of the DARE program, which involves students in their own learning, and students share their own stories and knowledge, practice decision-making and role-playing to learn new skills to resist drugs. They also learn sound communication skills, which help them resist the temptations to use drugs even when confronted by their own peers. I have been involved in this wonderful program for close to 25 years. I've served as a DARE officer, the president of the DARE Association, and most recently as the DARE coordinator for the state of Maine. I have seen firsthand how effective a strong DARE program within a school can be. Not all schools and students have access to the DARE program, and this is something I would like to see corrected. The history of the funding for the DARE program dates back to the 1980s and 90s when the program originated. There was federal drug-free money available to the program throughout the United States. The COPS SRO grant basically took the place of the drug-free money, and this changed and promoted the presence of the resource officers in the schools. The grant also provides funding for DARE, but most schools close to use the funding they receive to have a member of law enforcement present. Rather than directing it into the classroom, presently the COPS grants money is dwindling, because of this town or schools are being forced to personally pay for the presence of a school resource officer. The lack of funding these schools have to prioritize, and because of this DARE program, they are taking a back seat. As I stated earlier, this bill suggests that this funding come from the sale of confiscated weapons. Other states have funded their DARE programs with surcharges levied on court fines, fees, charges, and cases related to alcohol and drugs and funds received from tobacco taxes, I am open to explore these options. My goal would be to see $100,000 designated towards this program. I believe it is more important than ever that our students are educated on the dangers of drug use. This cause is very close to my heart, and thank you.
Any questions for Senator Searway? Representative Garish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator. I have a couple questions. The first one is data-driven. Do you have any information or data on the number or percentage of Maine school districts currently using DARE funding themselves locally?
Not on the funding part, because everybody kind of does it a little different. We have some police departments that fund it totally themselves. There's some that do it through their PTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Some do it through, like, Masons or the lodges will help. It's kind of sporadic on how they do it. They really want it. The schools want it. But the problem is because when funding becomes a problem and... I can remember years back when I was doing 16 schools. I was doing 8 in the fall and 8 in the spring because it's a 10-week program. And we had a situation where funding was getting short with the county, and so the sheriff at the time pulled DARE out. And he says, we can't do DARE. We got to have him on the road. So they did that, and he hadn't talked to the commissioners, and the commissioners asked him, why did you pull DARE? And so they found the money, and they put me back, but by that time, within a few weeks, they took that money, that their drug-free monies, and put it towards a counselor in the school. So we lost like a few schools because of the funding. And it's more of a funding issue why we don't have DARE in the schools right now. Augusta PD just got 4 new DARE officers trained. So that's quite a commitment for what they're doing, and I believe they're funded straight through Augusta. Now, there's, Scarborough PD has a DARE program. Brunswick PD just hired a few, and I think there's... some of the counties, Lincoln County and Waldo County, have DARE officers. But we need there's a lot of departments out there just cannot fit it in. So I think if we had $100,000, they could apply for having a DARE officer, and we could generate that going again. And then as time progresses, we may be able to even find other funding. But I think this is a very critical time.
Right, thanks. As a teacher, I know our school shares with a nearby town. We share with a Berwick DARE officer, so they've worked it out locally. But I guess I was just looking specifically if you had any real data. How much of a problem is it? Is there 40% of Maine schools that don't have a DARE program? Is it 15? Is it 70? I just have a feeling $100,000 isn't going to come close to taking care of the issue across the board.
Well, if we can do more, that I'm just trying to find a source and getting it started. Certainly, if you can find more, that'd be great. The more, the better. I think right now we have at one time we was close to 80% and 90% of the schools was having DARE. But now it's like probably close to, I'd say, 15% or 20% of the schools having DARE. So we're really down compared to what we were. You have actually more school resource officers in the schools than you do DARE officers. And actually, the school resource officers in their grants could have actually gone through the DARE program because the grant allows that for DARE. But they become, you know, more guarding the school than they are giving classes. So we really, I think you need both. I know when I was in doing the DARE program. In many of the schools, I was also considered the school resource officer for that school. I've had many situations where, you know, as I went to schools or they called me from another school to go over and talk to a student or deal with families, and I actually had one situation I can remember where somebody came with a 30-06 and was going to take out anybody that got in his way to get his kids. He was high on cocaine. I had another one where the parent cut his arms up on drugs right from his kids. Another one where two little children, two girls, had brought a knife that was a foot long and was going to cut the head off another child in the first grader. So this is, and the parents were nurses. So it can come from the best families. There's a lot of cases out there where we have serious situations, and I can't begin. That's just touching the surface of what I've had to deal with. I've had to deal with guns being brought in school. I've had to deal with kids that was going to had a list of kids he was going to kill, and you know. So this is serious stuff. When you're talking about drugs, I can tell you about lots of them. So it is serious.
Representative Corey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got two pretty quick questions. One is I'm just curious how current funds from, you know, the sales of confiscated firearms are used, if that's done through the state, if it's done through each local department, because I imagine that these different local police forces probably have their own funding priorities. Then the second one is that I sat on Inland Fisheries and Wildlife before I was here, and I know they've had to confiscate firearms and everything else, and I mean, I have concerns with regard to sort of them being able to fund their priorities, whether that means hunter education or you know, enforcement or any of those other things. So I don't know how you imagined IFNW would be spending their funds. But anyways, if you could just explain that, that'd be great.
Well, you know, many times when guns are confiscated, it's because of another crime or whatever, and because the crime took place or whatever. And many times there are departments that use their monies from confiscated guns towards, you know, extra tools that they can use in the force and the workforce. And I understand that. I think that there are some that do sell the guns, you know, once in a while, and they use that money, and they just have to think up something of where it comes from. And so I was trying to figure out what would be a good way to use money in a good, positive way in most departments, so without them having to think about it. But certainly, if there are other avenues, I mean, certain states use tax money on their cigarettes, marijuana. In some states, there's probably some that use that money from other sources of liquor. There's, you know, so I guess it's all in how we can find a source to fund an important program.
Thank you. Representative Herrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Searway, you know, talking to the choir here, you don't have to convince me. The DEER program, I had it for quite a few years in Oxford County, and it was, I firmly always believe that anytime you put law enforcement interaction with young people, that there's a positive outcome of that. Similar to Representative Corey's question, if this was ever to become law, it would force the hand of municipalities, counties, and state agencies to do that process and render those net proceeds, if you will, to this program. And I think it's a great way to fund our dedicated fund, but I'm just I'm hesitant to believe that there's not going to be some pullback by some agency saying, geez, you know, my budget's short too.
Right.
I bank this money, and any time in the next 5 years we might, you know, buy some additional equipment or whatever. So I think it's a great idea. I think it's dedicated funding that we could identify, but I'm expecting some you know, pullback from some agencies on that. Thank you.
I agree. I think there will be, but I'm just trying to find a source.
Representative Reckitt.
I have a couple of questions. It seems to me that for several years I was involved with a initiative that tried to get the legislature to insist that the funds from the sale of firearms that were used in homicides were not, I don't remember what the money was to go for, were not to be sold, I think, in that kind of way. And I think it passed, and if it did, I have no recollection of where it went in the statute, but I know that the family that was advocating it because of their daughter's death, and they were pretty horrified that the gun that was used in that was
right.
later used elsewhere as well. So I would want to make sure that that was not going to be, if in fact that went through, which I think it did, that it doesn't interfere with what you're, doesn't get complicated with, doesn't get lost as a concept with your initiative.
Right.
That's a minor thing, really, probably to me, not to the people who are so concerned about it. But my other question is, when was the last time that the DARE curriculum was updated? Do you know?
It's updated every 5 years. Mm-hmm. So the last time it was about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they've actually just come out with a high school curriculum that they're just going to be putting out this summer. They're going to be training the mentors, which I'm one of the mentors in mm-hmm. Texas. They'll be training us. And I train other officers, be their officers throughout the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And so, and then what they'll do is they'll put out one for visitation. They update. They just updated that last year for K through 4. And then the 5th and 6th grade level, they just did about 3-4 years ago, and they had the middle school the year after that. So they try to kind of keep updating each grade level every 4 or 5 years. So that's what they try to do.
The reason I ask is that the people that used to work for me doing education on violence and so forth in the high mm-hmm. schools, it said to me at one point that the students that they were dealing with did not have, at least in this particular area, did not have a particularly high regard for the DARE curriculum, and that it wasn't, didn't seem to be speaking to them in 21st century language.
Now, when was that?
Would have been about 5-10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, well, 10 years ago, it was instructional.
Is that maybe that's what?
And they've changed to facilitation now.
Okay.
So instructional would be just like me being up here and giving a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
Facilitation, you put them in groups and you kind of like ask high-level learning questions for them to kind of figure out themselves, and they get problems to try to solve themselves. And so they learn very quickly on how to reason things out on their own. So it's much different tactic.
Glad to hear that.
Representative Talbot Ross.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to explore something I think that you said, which was at one point the DARE officers and the SROs were cross-trained.
They are now, actually. Now, when we do a two-week training, you're trained to be a DARE officer and a school resource officer, so you can do both.
So is there any cost savings, then, to just continue to train SRO officers in DARE so that we don't have to hire specific
It certainly
DARE
would
officers?
Be. The problem is that some departments and some schools feel that they just want security, and they can't, and especially high schools are hard to fit in the curriculum in a high school setting, and that's usually where the school resource officers are. But in middle school, and especially middle school, you have almost as many problems as you do in high schools. And that's where I think that if you could combine having the DARE officer and the school resource officer in there, it would be cost effective.
But my question was, there could be some considerable savings if we looked at this by utilizing current SRO officers and training them in the DARE curriculum. Is
definitely
that true? Thank
yep.
you.
Yep. And also, if you want to look up any information on how the drug changes are in certain drugs and also cigarettes or tobacco, if you go on monitoringthefuture.org, you can look at what grades and also see what there is for changes in the years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.